This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Joining us on the Jodcast today is Jakub Rychinski from the Open University, and you work on detecting extrasolar planets. Can you tell us a bit about your work and what instruments you use to do so?
Yeah, well, what we mainly do is we get data from SuperWASP consortium, raw light curves, and try to follow them up with our telescope. We have a remotely operated telescope, Pirate, and it stands on Mallorca. It's a semi-robotic telescope, which means that we have to upload a plan, observing plan, to the telescope every day, and then it just goes and carries on observing for us every day on its own. The cool thing about it is we don't really have to either go there, which, okay, is a little bit of a shame. We would love to be able to go to Mallorca. Our supervisors are happy we do not have to. We do not waste time on the sunny beaches there. Instead, we sit in our offices and observe. The cool thing is we will have no social lives whatsoever every evening observing from the office. Fortunately, I was working on that project for quite some time with our friends at Open University, and now we can operate a telescope using our mobile phones, which is absolutely brilliant and saves our social lives.
That's very good. So SuperWASP is a big, it's got 11 cameras or something that photographs fields of the sky.
Eight
cameras that photograph the sky, and then it detects sort of if a planet goes in front of it, the light of a sun or some star, the light dips, and then so it does photographs lots and lots of stars over a period of time, and then so you get those dips for your survey, and then you use your mobile phone.
To
remote operate. How often do you get, so how many numbers of dips and follow-ups do you do a day?
As you said, what we were waiting for, what we want to see, is a planet transit in front of the disk of its star, blocking part of the light, which causes a dip in brightness. And such dips are of only, say, 1%. It's really hard to detect those. So we use our telescope to try searching for those. Per night, I would try to see about two or three of those. We are in a very good position where there is, as you said, there is a SuperWASP consortium. They have two telescopes, Northern and Southern Hemisphere. Each consists of eight Canon lenses with CCD cameras on back. And each of those can photograph the whole sky every 7 minutes. And they measure brightness of every star, 130 million stars in the whole sky, and try to find which of those dip from time to time. They observe number of dips. Then identify best candidates, 40,000. Of those identified, best of the best of the best, 2,500 at the moment. And these guys get passed on to me, so I already know where to look and I know what to look for. So every night I am actually able to see three transits of either planets or something else. What I actually try to do is look for the candidates, the 3,500, and try to see whether these are actually planets or we call them mimics, so something else that could be mimicking the transit signal. There's a couple of things that could be there. It could be a blend, so two stars, one next to another. One goes into a very deep eclipse. It's eclipsing binary. It's not a planet. Another one just shines right next to it. But when you put them together and SuperWASP doesn't see two stars, it just sees one star, then it thinks there is only a very shallow dip there, and that is identified as a planet. Another thing could be eclipsing binary. That flies, one flies around another. But there's this only a grazing eclipsing binary, which means that one disk overlaps on the other one only slightly, so it causes only a slight dip in transit in light curve, and that again could be identified as a planet. We, using our telescope, which is larger than SuperWASP telescopes, can actually figure out whether this is a grazing eclipsing binary, whether this is a blend, or if it's a genuine planet.
So how many planets have you detected?
Using that, at the moment, SuperWASP has detected over 60 altogether. It is so far the most successful search for transiting exoplanets. We actually beat Kepler.
You're beating Kepler?
We are beating Kepler. So they have found, according to the most recent statistics, I think Kepler has found 62 planets. It might be already out of date, that the field moves very quickly. So Kepler has already found 62 planets. We have found at least 65. There's more about to be published quite soon.
Ooh!
So it's a number of those that we are finding. And let me remark on one more thing. A SuperWASP consortium altogether, including all of us scientists and our equipment, etc., etc., and it has discovered so far more planets than Kepler, and it's 250 times cheaper to run. At $2 million in comparison to $500 million.
that's a bit of a difference in money. But also the detections, are you sensitive to different planets? So is Kepler's, can they detect a different size of planets compared to what you can detect?
Yeah, they're better in finding smaller planets and further away from their stars. We are better in finding hot Jupiters, so the massive, bloated, hot Jupiter-like looking like planets that are right next to their stars. Yeah, that's true. Which is a good thing, I guess, because the planets we are searching for are usually next to very bright stars, somewhere close to Earth, so it's easy for us later on to follow those up so we can have a closer look at a given system and figure out what's actually there. Kepler usually looks at a planet and figures out it's there, it's about it. We can actually then try to figure out, say, what is the atmosphere of such a planet composed of, or whether there could possibly be life there.
Hey, wow, this sounds like such a cool, exciting field. I'm so glad that your social life has been saved by using your mobile phone to do it.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too.